WNYC, and we'll touch base on the New York State Senate stalemate again today. You know, yesterday we were asking for your names for this story. What should we call it when we start these programs? You suggested Brawlbany, which I've been using today. Stalbany. A lot of people on our website seem to like Stalbany. Our friend, the historian Kenneth Davis, suggested capital punishment. Capital with an O, of course. Maybe that works better in print. But we'll adopt that one for this segment. Capital punishment continues for the people of New York as the Democrats refuse to go to work and the Republicans refuse to take a vote. Meanwhile, the New York City school system may wind up with no legal leadership by June 30th if this continues. The city and many counties around the state cannot begin their July 1st fiscal years because Albany has to approve their pending sales tax hikes, including Mayor Bloomberg's, and much more is stuck. You know these things are really at stake here. This is just not about the power circus. So state capital punishment, you bet. State Senator Eric Schneiderman of Manhattan has been focusing on the legal strategy for the Democrats and joins us now. Senator Schneiderman, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian. Good to be here.
And we'll have to go kind of short on this because of the time we spent with Howard Dean, and we have the Transportation Commissioner of New York City standing by, Jeanette Sadiq Khan. But the latest thing, and this has been going on all week, but it seems to be getting more into the headlines now, is that coup leader Pedro Espada says he would get two votes in the 31-31 Senate, his own vote as senator and his vote as Senate President Pro Tem to break a tie since there is no lieutenant governor. Is that going to wind up in court?
It may. Senator Espada has been making that assertion. We looked at the issue when David Patterson moved up and we were in a 62-seat House without a lieutenant governor, and our counsel, and I believe it's very unlikely that a court will rule that the president pro tem gets two votes. But it doesn't solve the broader issue because you need 32 senators to make a quorum, and even if you could argue that you could vote twice, as Senator Espada apparently is doing, you need 32 senators on the floor to do business, and we're trying to work out a solution so that we can get past the dispute over who is the temporary president of the Senate, form a bipartisan conference committee to set the legislative agenda, the list of bills to vote on.
And I know you're negotiating these things behind the scenes, but so far there is no quorum because none of the Democrats agree to show up in the chamber. So why not go back into session and force the issue? Call a new leadership vote, have that 31-31 tie, let Espada try to break it, and push the issue right to the courts and get it over with.
Well, we're in court already, Brian. The problem
but
is...
But not that, over that.
No, we're in court over the issue of the leadership of the Senate, which is the same thing.
But no, you're not, because the Democrats brought that, and then when the lower court declined to take a position, you declined to appeal, didn't you?
No. We filed a notice of appeal. Let me just clarify this. They staged this botched coup on June 8th. We went into court saying, this didn't comply with any of the rules of the Senate. They were voting to fill offices that didn't exist, a variety of reasons why the vote was invalid. Then, in the middle of the court just trying to decide this, Senator Montserrat switched back to the Democrats. It was 31-31, very different situation than when the case was filed. And the judge said, you guys go back and try and work this out. This is not appropriate for the court to intervene in. Try and negotiate. We've been trying to negotiate, and unfortunately, we made, as I said, an offer for a bipartisan system of picking the bills that will be voted on, which is the reason that they won't go to the floor when we issue a list of bills to vote on, and we won't go to the floor when they issue a list of bills to vote on, is that only the temporary president of the Senate can issue an active list. And if we go out to vote on Pedro Espada's list, we're acknowledging that he's the temporary president.
This is an important point. It's sort of an important point because I think a lot of the listeners say, stop arguing about who's the this and who's the that and the power structure and start focusing on content with these deadlines and other things coming up. But are you saying then that if he's the head of that he controls what comes to the floor, that important bills for the people of New York are not even going to get a vote?
Well, I think that his agenda and the agenda of the Senate Republicans is very – there's a dramatic difference in what bills we want to bring to the floor. But I also think that it is important to recognize that we are still in court. We have a notice of appeal. We took the judge's advice and went back to try and negotiate. Unfortunately, last night – The Republicans made a counterproposal to us that essentially said, we won't do anything until you acknowledge that Pedro Espada is the president of the Senate. We were willing to put that issue aside to try and pass bills like Merrill Control and the tax packages. They rejected that. So I think they're probably forcing us back into court to seek judicial resolution again. We are not accepting that Pedro Espada is the president of the Senate and next in line to be the governor. We're not accepting the vote of June 8th. The last valid election of a Senate president was on January 7th when Malcolm Smith was elected, and the court did recognize that that's the last uncontested election of a Senate president. So we're going to work this out one way or the other, and we have tried to propose a series of bills that we could do on a bipartisan basis without designating who's the president of the Senate. And unfortunately, last night the Republicans rejected that approach, are insisting that Pedro Espada must be recognized before they will come to a joint session.
Before we break, I want to get one question in for you from a caller, which actually a lot of people are asking, and it's Mark in Manhattan who gets to do the honors. Hi, Mark.
Thank you, Brian, and thank you, Eric. I'm a great fan of yours and have been supporter of your campaigns. The question is, and I've been searching the internet, did David Pattison ever resign as lieutenant governor? Because I understand from the study by the Brennan Center that New York State is one of the two states which explicitly allows for office holders to hold two offices at the same time. If he never resigned and he was never replaced, then he may be the lieutenant governor and be the tie-breaking vote.
That's a great question, and we did look at that, and it is clear that he has vacated the office of lieutenant governor. There is a constitutional requirement. He was sworn in as governor, and the office of lieutenant governor is now vacant, as it has been at different points in the history of New York State, although never when there was an even split in one house of the legislature. But unfortunately, although not in the technical sense you're suggesting, I do think Governor Pattison is going to be the one to bring this together, because the legislative session ends on Monday. And after that, the governor is free to call us into special session, which we have to show up for, and the governor sets the list of bills that we have to consider.
The Democrats would have to show up and make that quorum if the governor calls a special session?
We all have to go up. Now, he can't force us to vote. People can walk in and just say, I vote no on everything. But I think that'll give us an opportunity to bring the Republicans into a session. We'll have to negotiate who presides.
Uh-huh.
But my prediction is the way we're going to get these things done is a special session called by the governor, and with more active involvement of the governor to help us move forward. We got to pass these bills and balance the budgets all over the state. They're all waiting on it.
That's an interesting scenario about the governor. A little glimmer of hope for things to move forward. What do you like better, Brawlbany, Stallbany, or capital punishment?
I like putting this in the history books and getting back to passing legislation, Ryan. This has been an extraordinarily difficult period, and we know that all over the state there are local governments and agencies teetering on the edge of having to fire people and shut their doors, and we cannot let them down. This is tough stuff.
State Senator Eric Schneider of Manhattan, thank you very much.
Thank you.